Gary Wordish, President, Minnesota Farmers Union.
Gary, a whole host of things we could talk about related to agriculture. Let's begin with the Farm Bill, and now that the House and Senate have both passed their versions, conference committee coming up, and as you look at where things stand out of both chambers, things that you like, things that you don't like, and what you want to see in the final 2018 Farm Bill.
Well, really, we would have liked to have seen more money put into the Farm Bill. We would have liked to have seen higher reference prices, especially for the PL program, but that didn't happen. But obviously, we do like the Senate bill better. The House bill turned into more of a partisan bill and didn't really do what it should to help the ag producers on the farm. Senate bill restored the energy title, which the House stripped away, and just a lot more friendly, or more farmer producers, help farmers in rural communities.
How big of an obstacle will the nutrition part of the Farm Bill be? Obviously, the House wanted to make changes to work requirements within SNAP. The Senate stayed away from that to get the bipartisan support. What's it going to take to overcome some of those differences, do you think?
It really is going to depend on, they're so far apart right now. The Senate didn't address that because it was not going to pass the Senate. So if the House is going to stick real tight to that, then we probably won't be able to come to an agreement, and then we'll be looking at an extension. So it really gets back, they're going to have to take the politics out of it and try and work together. And the ag community has always done that. Seemingly this time the House, we're disappointed they turned it by throwing that in there. Everybody supports reform, there's no doubt about that, but the way they went about it, it just was not going to work. And as you talk to people in the hunger world that administering them programs, they said what the House did was not workable either. So, you want to help people when they're down, but, it's certainly understandable, but if they take the politics out of it, we'll get it passed. If not, we'll be looking at an extension.
In your opinion, how much worse off would American farmers be if the current Farm Bill was extended another year compared to getting the 2018 Farm Bill passed?
Well, if we get extended another year, our crop insurance and all that, everything stays in place. So, and really, there isn't any new money that got put into the bill. So, it wouldn't be all bad. It'd be better. And they won't let it expire. It will be extended. There's no doubt about that because they won't let it go back to the 1938 bill.
So, really, it's not a very dramatic difference if the current law is extended compared to what the new Farm Bill would include in it. There's not a dramatic difference.
That's the way it is right now. Yeah, that's very true. But really right now, what the farmers really need is a price. And the Senate bill, those provisions stay in place, and they do in the House too. But we need a better price. We won't get out of our economic slump until we get a better price out on the farm. Then you throw through our recent weather issues we have here in southern Minnesota with the heavy rainfalls, it's pretty tough. You look at it, you got a farm, some farmers losing quite a bit of crop because of the drowned out and the water flooding, and then you got other areas even with a maybe not adequate drainage with all the extreme rain, and the crops are really stunted and be a pretty short crop in some of these areas.
How does Farmers Union feel about Scott Pruitt's resignation as EPA administrator?
Well, that was long overdue. We're very opposed to him. A lot of his policies, the big thing is the renewable fuel standard, how he was handing out hardship waivers to very large oil companies that were able to claim a hardship waiver. And I know one of those companies had $1.5 billion in profit last year. That, as a farmer, when you're struggling out looking at whether you got crops underwater or looking at the low commodity prices, it's pretty hard to think that they should get a hardship waiver and make $1.5 billion in profit. But that was an backhanded way of getting rid of the renewable fuel standard, which has been important to rural America. It's not only important to the farmer, but it's important to the consumer too. It's helped lower the price of fuel at the pump. And plus ethanol, the big example, that provided a lot of good paying jobs in rural communities.
What do you know about the interim administrator? What would you like to see happen with that administrator position over the longer term?
Well, really, we'd like it to go back to need somebody that's not tied to an industry. The interim position, the interim director now, he's tied to the coal industry as a lobbyist for the coal industry. So obviously, we have concerns like that. We'd like not somebody to be appointed that actually cares about the agency, what should be done, you know, somebody that's decent on regulations, you know, so you have common sense regulations, but not tied to an industry. And, you know, that's how we had concerns with Scott Pruitt at the start, because he was an Oklahoma attorney general. He had opposed to renewable fuels in the past.
Tell me about the damage that's been done in this part of the state from excess water, a lot of rain that's moved through. Governor Dayton was down in southwestern Minnesota yesterday, as was Ag Commissioner Fredrickson. What do you know about the extent of the damage, Gary?
Well, obviously, I think they're still compiling the numbers, but you know, I think there's 36 counties declared disaster areas, and maybe not all, but a big percentage of the counties will qualify for some FEMA assistance. You got to have like just under $8 million to qualify, and that's public assistance. It's not private. But a lot of these counties, you start washing out roads. We've seen that a lot. You know, whether it's township, county, or some of the state highways, it costs a lot of money to replace that. And then there'll be some infrastructure damage in some of the cities. So that, and you know, the farmers, we got the loss of the crop, and then you got a lot of homeowners. They're talking the city of Tracy had just 80 or 90% of the homeowners had water, raw sewage in their basement. So it's a tremendous. It's going to be a hardship for a lot of people.
A lot of headwinds facing farmers right now, and certainly trade is among them. When you look at the tariff retaliation from China, Mexico, Canada, and its impact, how has Farmers Union assessed the impact? Have you been able to come up with calculations commodity by commodity, or how are you looking at the impact of this trade war?
Well, We certainly don't support a trade war. We support, you know, looking at trade agreements. There's no harm in that. But the way the administration went about it, doing a trade war, take soybeans, for example, we probably have lost 20 to 24% off the price. When you got some farmers, all farmers, you know, as you're struggling to cash flow, and now you take some of the areas that have been hit with the bad weather, you're going to have even a shorter crop. You know, you probably move some of those people into having maybe a break in even year to definitely having a loss. And this didn't have to happen. I just come back from a trade agreement or a renewable energy trip to Germany and met with some high-level officials of the German government. And they said, too, we're willing to talk on trade, but you got to sit at the table. You can't do it by tweet. So that I heard that from a European official. And, you know, as we're sitting out here in the countryside, that appears what is happening.
The Trump administration is asking for patience, saying that what's happening now will lead to better deals for U.S. farmers. There's also talk of some federal assistance to offset some of the losses from these trade disputes. Is that feasible? Is that realistic to think that farmers can be adequately compensated through a federal program?
No, that's just not. It won't happen. If these trade agreements, if we lose some of the trade, some of these other countries we've taken years to build up, they can make us a one-time payment, but it might take years to build their markets back up and get our markets back. So no, federal government doesn't have enough money to do that, and they shouldn't have to do that. The U.S. taxpayer would be outraged if that was the case. I mean, I, as a farmer, I would be outraged too. You know, this is it's a lot of political rhetoric, just trying to satisfy the base. It's a little hard to take.
Last thing I want to ask you about. The event that we're at today, the Minnesota Cattlemen Summer Beef Tour, you had a chance to tour some cattle farms today. Tell me about what you saw.
Well, we saw a lot of, you know, saw some pasture grazing operations. That were, you know, very interesting how they're dealing with some of the, you know, pasture type land and how it's working for them, rotational grazing. And then we saw a large feedlot too. And the beef industry, especially in this corner of the state, is very large. Well, in the state of Minnesota whole, it is very large. So it's an important part of industry and helps get rid of a lot of corn, but you know, beef, what's for dinner, I guess, is their slogan.
And we've talked quite a bit about beginning farmer programs and Minnesota Farmers Union, National Farmers Union, very passionate about that next generation of farmers. And we've talked about the livestock industry being a great place to kind of get that foot in the door, whether it's, you know, pork, poultry, or certainly beef.
Yeah, it does seem like, you know, that with the high amount of capital required, it does seem like livestock, there is still a ways to get involved, you know, and even if you do start it, we have some members that are doing it on a very small scale, gradually working their way into a full-time farming job, so it does give you some opportunities, and that, you know, it's a good way to diversify your operation, and it's working for some.
Anything else on your mind today, Gary?
Well, I go back to the trade agreements. You know, I know you mentioned earlier you said that the administration will be a lot better in the long run when this is all done, but there might be some, there's going to be some farmers out there, if this continues, won't be in business for the long run. So it's a sacrifice that they shouldn't have to take.
I appreciate your time, Gary. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Mark.